It's the Mornings with Ed show, 8:02 the time, and a very good Wednesday morning to you. And as I mentioned earlier, we're taking a more focused examination of all the critical issues, not just health and safety, but the economics of this as well. And you know, the economic recovery is complicated with minutia and steering us through that complication. We have WealthWise Financial Services founder and president economic expert with us, Laureen Gilbert. Thank you for being with us this morning, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Great to be here.
How are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Good to hear from you. You know, as the week passes, I write myself little notes on whatever, scribbled pieces of paper and stuff. These are questions I have to ask you. So I've got like 10 or 12 of them today. I hope you can stick around for a second or two with us.
Great. Absolutely.
I want to start off with Monday. And we started Monday with the Dow Jones shooting up. And investors are guessing it was over Moderna that had announced upbeat early results of a coronavirus vaccine trial. And also the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, said the central bank will take action more to stimulate the economy, more action. Is that a trend we can see continuing with the Dow?
I think the Dow is overreacting in the response to the vaccine, because even though Moderna has had some positive results out of their trials, it's still a long road before we have that fully approved and people are vaccinated. So to get the economy back up and running again is still going to be a long road. Like you said, the response on Monday was because of two things. One, because of Moderna, but the other was message Sunday on 60 Minutes, which seemed a much more brighter outlook than his response had been the prior Wednesday, when he was talking about dire, just how dire things were. So the markets right now have been reacting day by day to what the federal chair says. And so whatever Powell says, if it sounds more positive, the markets are up. If things sound more negative, the markets are down.
Right.
So then it comes to really deciphering what is the Fed saying, what is going on, and also how much are they intervening, which is what has been propping up this market.
Right. Now, you think he dialed it down on purpose. You think that he saw the numbers after he had spoken on Wednesday and said, well, maybe for the Sunday 60 Minutes interview, I've got to be a little more positive.
I think, like he said on Sunday, he said, don't bet against the U.S. economy, because we will come out of this. But he was, he was clear even in the 60 Minutes of, this is going to take a long time. But I think overall his tone was much more upbeat than it had been before. But, he said a negative 30% GDP in the second quarter. He also alluded to the fact that, yes, our unemployment could be 20 to 25%. Ed, those are huge numbers.
Yes. Scary numbers. Scary huge. So
that's huge.
Yeah. We saw the Fed chair and the Treasury secretary testify before the Senate this week. What did you hear that stood out to you?
Well, the Fed chair said, there's a level of pain that's hard to capture in words. And that's true. Like when we're talking about, let's just talk about unemployment. There are now more people unemployed than there are small business owners in the United States. There's 30 million small business owners in the United States, and we have 36 million unemployed. So once again, it's just hard to put that into words of how significant and severe it is. Now, we're estimating that 40% of that number is permanent and the rest is furloughed. But even at 40%, we're still looking at unemployment that is greater than we saw in the Great Recession. And so what I'm saying is the stock market has not really priced in the fact that we have that many people unemployed who can't spend money. Because at the end of the day, if our economy is based on consumerism, which it is,
right,
70% of our GDP is based on consumerism, and you have that many people unemployed, they can't continue to spend. So eventually, that's going to show up. And now what the market is doing is somewhat getting ahead of itself, saying, okay, if in fact we get back to work and if in fact people are able to start spending again, then stocks will go up. There will be earnings again. But what I'm saying is I think it's ahead of itself for sure.
Okay. Okay. Now, the House of Representatives passed legislation that would come to the rescue of state and local governments. As you know, the crisis has choked off tax revenues that state and local governments rely on to fund crucial jobs and services. Corporate income taxes have also been crushed. Traveling, going to movies, purchasing, that affects tax sales revenue. Property tax revenues are next to suffer. How important is it that we do actually start collecting these taxes?
Well, you know, state and local, it depends on your state and local governments, and this is what's interesting across the United States. Some entities were much better prepared than others. And it's the old, you know, unfortunately, municipalities oftentimes don't think far enough ahead. Right. Now, your airport entities do, even though, you know, those are considered, they're oftentimes municipal entities, and they have reserves on hand. Toll roads have reserves on hand, but not necessarily some of those municipalities that spend when times are good, and they don't plan for when times are not good. And ultimately, it's not the responsibility of the federal government to come to the aid of municipalities that have not been fiscally responsible.
Right.
So, you know, there's that push and pull. So municipalities need to rethink the way they do their budgeting so that they can level things off during times of a recessionary period.
Okay. Now, I read that for every dollar spent by state and local government, the economy sees an estimated benefit of about 34% return on the dollar. So if the Fed loans a municipality or loans a state or municipality some money, is that a good investment for the Fed?
I think the Federal Reserve has to be careful, but yes, I think ultimately, this current bill is not going to pass. We know that. It's dead on arrival. There's no way the Senate's going to pass it in its current form. I think at the end of the day, there's a balance between payroll tax cuts that the Republicans want and municipal assistance, which are what the Democrats want, and there will be a coming together of the minds. Ultimately, I think there's going to have to be restrictions on what the municipalities can spend that money on, and that it can't go against pension liabilities, the things that some of these states have a real issue with. They need to figure that out on their own. But on the day-to-day and helping them out of this crunch, I do think that there will be that some aid that comes to pass.
Okay. And we mentioned that it did get political, and it we knew it would. So months ago when we started the crisis and we knew there was going to be a financial impact, you had to know that down the road it was going to be political. What is it in particular about this package? And I think you just mentioned it, really. Is it anything above those two differences that they have that we can get past, or is it just getting past those two differences?
Well, here's what I will tell you. Everything we've done so far has been an emergency measure. And Congress needs to think about long-term structural assistance that would benefit. So to your point, what you were saying, infrastructure is what makes the most sense. That's a long-term solution for the United States that helps us at the national level and helps us at the local level. Unfortunately, I don't think there's the political fortitude to get that passed before the next election. But I will tell you, that is what needs to pass. That helps create jobs. Both sides can agree on infrastructure. We know we need it, and there will be a return on that investment. So that is what I'm advocating for, what I believe in as a long-term measure. In the meantime, there is still this short-term assistance that emergency measure. We have to be careful, Ed. We have to be careful in from this point on what we're spending our money on and make sure that there is a return, to make sure that it is getting to the right people, to make sure that it's being used appropriately. You know, we don't want more headlines about the wrong kind of companies getting the money or it not being spent properly. We don't want to hear that. So we've got to be careful with the next set of legislation. And back to what Powell and Mnuchin were saying, and the message was clear. it's in Congress's hands. Congress needs to take more action. There needs to be more fiscal stimulus. The monetary stimulus, that there's been plenty of liquidity out into the system. Now there needs to be fiscal stimulus in the form of Congress passing bills.
Okay. And with regards to infrastructure, am I wrong in assuming that most of the, or a lot of the debt that a lot of states carry finances infrastructure projects for roads, airports, healthcare centers, and schools?
Oh, certainly some of it does. But what I was alluding to is we have a lot of pension liabilities. And that is something that the local municipalities need to figure out. Our municipality is one of them that needs to figure that out. And that, the feds cannot come to the rescue against pension liabilities.
Okay. The Fed chair said that the central bank's new municipal lending facility is about 2 weeks away from being operational. Mm-hmm. What are you expecting to see once it becomes operational?
Well, we're expecting to see that they're going to be purchasing ETFs. That's kind of what we talked about last week. And so once again, what we're seeing is a market that's being supported by the Fed. And so... The stock market has reacted based on the Fed saying, we're going to do whatever it takes. Now they're entering into, we've talked about how they're entering into high yield municipals. So then what they're really doing is that they're supporting the credit market, the bond markets as well.
Okay. I want to take a left turn and ask you about Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway, if you don't mind. They've had notable misfires like the scandal-ridden Wells Fargo and struggling food giant Kraft Heinz. They also disclosed last week that it dumped nearly all its stake in Goldman Sachs. So, and I guess this week Buffett announced that he had sold off the entire stake in Delta, Southwest, and American Airlines as well as United. At what point is his word no longer the gold standard for economists?
Well, I grew up listening to Warren Buffett, and I still think the man is a genius and that he does have a great team behind him. So it's not just Warren Buffett or Charlie Munger, but they have depth to their team. What Warren Buffett is a value investor. He looks for value. He's holding a lot of cash, $100 billion of cash, over $100 billion of cash. He is looking for value. He can't find it in the market. And that's what's been going on. Now, when he, earlier in the pandemic, at the very beginning, he bought more shares in airlines and then realized, as many of us did, you know, at the beginning, we thought, well, you know, we've seen other viruses before come and go. This one was different. When we had to be quarantined and we had to shut down the whole economy, that's what changed everything. And so what a good investor does is when they realize that something has changed, you don't just sit and wait and say, I'm just going to hold on. Right. You say, you know what? Things have changed. I need to change my paradigm so that we don't, see companies going to bankruptcy or look at sustained losses over a long period of time. I agree with what he did. And, you know, he said, I'm going to change my perspective. I'm going to go ahead and sell. And then he has more cash in order to redeploy and look for more value in the market. So now he's waiting to find those values. And I truly believe he will. And he'll buy up more things. Okay. And when it's the right time.
Okay. Yeah, he does have a history of genius moves. He really does. And he's repeatedly said that after he passes away, his plan is to have a trustee invest 90% of his wife's inheritance in a low-cost S&P 500 index fund and not Berkshire Hathaway.
Right. Okay. Isn't that funny? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have my dumb guy question of the week, I think, is about Hertz, the rental car people. They've been struggling, and they were hurting really bad, and their stock rose by 15% last week simply by announcing they had a new CEO, which I found to be just a huge jump for that kind of announcement, really. Were investors so starved for good news, especially from Hertz, that they overreacted?
Well, Hertz in particular is a company that was headed towards bankruptcy. And so the move to change the CEO was a sign that they have the ability now to get out of the hole that they're in and hopefully avoid bankruptcy. So the newly appointed CEO, Paul Stone, came from Walmart. He'd been there 3 decades. He knows how to turn this around. And so it was in hopes that he will turn it around. So it's coming off all the bad news. And oftentimes this happens when you have a change in a CEO. Look, that happened with, you know, if we look at Wells Fargo. They had a new CEO, stock increased with hopes of better days ahead. So I would say that that's what does happen when there's been so much pressure on a board that you got to get rid of your CEO and you get somebody new, then investors like that story that maybe now with new leadership, things will be different.
Can we expect that Hertz stock to level off?
You never know.
Okay.
You never know. They, once again, they have a long, this is another, a story of a long road ahead. Investors have to be cautious. Any company that is close to bankruptcy, you got to be cautious on purchasing that stock.
Now, we're talking to Laureen Gilbert. She's the founder and president of Wealthwise Financial Services here in Irvine. And when you get back to work, now that we're opening up a little more, when your office is back and running, do you see a different configuration of where everyone is sitting? Will you require masks in the office? What's going to be different about it when you open up?
Well, I was fortunate to be able to get masks for my employees. That was my top priority, to make sure that each employee does have a mask. And thankfully, the way that our office is configured, we already have social distancing with over 6 feet apart per person. So we're in a good position and we're ready. And while we have been considered essential services and we could be together, I was enacting extra precautions, having people be, working remotely and only having one person in the office. But we're looking to get back into the office. We're hoping by next week. Certainly we're talking about it. And either next week or the week after is when I think people will be ready. And I'm making it voluntary where people can decide whether they feel safe to be in the office or continue working remotely, because we're doing quite well, all of us working from home. So we're not pressuring anybody. So yes, things will be different. I've ordered a thermometer so that we have one of those thermometers that you don't have to touch anybody and it takes somebody's temperature, and anybody coming into the office will be taking their temperature. So yes, it is it's a whole new world. It's reminiscent of the 9/11 and the changes that had to be made afterwards. And we all got used to it now with TSA and checking all our bags. And I think the same thing's going to be happening with thermometers and masks. And now I just saw somebody posting, you know, what does your mask say about you? And now it's going to be a fashion statement, right? So I do think a lot of changes will be happening in the workforce.
What does your mask say about you, Laureen?
Well, unfortunately, my mask is quite boring. I don't know. I thought about that. I'm like, oh boy, I better get a more fashionable. I do have like a animal print, and it's not leather, but it's an animal print mask. So I do have one of those just to have one fashion statement mask.
Very cool. Very cool. I've got this giant wide open mouth with just, you can only see a uvula in the back. That's what my mask look like right now.
Okay. That's funny.
I've been telling people all week long that the virus needs a host to spread. The same is necessary for misinformation, which is why we listen to the experts, which is why we listen to you, and why we're so glad that you're with us. Wealthwise Financial Services founder and president, Laureen Gilbert. How do we get in touch with you?
WealthwiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177. Thanks so much for having me on your show, Ed.
Thank you so much, Laureen. Laureen Gilbert, Wealthwise Financial Services. We will talk to her again next week. Thanks, Laureen.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.